You think I'm losing it, don't you? I might be, but I don't think so. Not today. So before I read the gospel, which I will read in a moment, it'll be fine. Before I read the gospel, let me say just a few words of introduction. Introduction to the gospel itself, the gospel for this morning, but also to our way of experiencing the gospel today. Our gospel is often entitled The Road to Emmaus. It's a favorite for many. It's one of the resurrection stories that Jesus has, but Luke tells us. And there's this Easter morning story that we would have heard some years during the Easter day service. And it ends the verse right before the one we start on today. So it ends like this. But Peter, as in the same Peter that Uli just had us hearing about in Acts, the one who was preaching, but Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves, and then he went home amazed at what had happened. And then comes the Road to Emmaus story, the one that we'll share in just a moment. And finally, there's another resurrection story, and this is one that we might call something like the broiled fish on the beach story. It's when he eats with them. That comes right after the Road to Emmaus. The Road to Emmaus story is one of my favorite stories in the Bible. I love it in part because I find it accessible, highly accessible. Two people walking down a road, life turned upside down by the events that have just happened in the days past, and Jesus comes and walks with them, and he talks with them, and then they share a meal. What's not to like about this, right? They're walking together, they're sharing a meal, all things that I enjoy doing, perhaps most of all in this life. So this morning, I invite you into what I would call the I Wonder, I Notice sermon. Once upon a time, when the call committee from Hope came to visit the Sunday morning worship service over at Salem in South Minneapolis in Uptown, my previous congregation, some of the committee experienced the style of a sermon. It happened to be a day that we were using this type of sermon, and ever since then, I've tried to figure out how to use it here at Hope. It's one thing to use in the chapel. It works just fine in the chapel. But how do you use it in the sanctuary? How do you use it in a bigger space, a space that needs some amplification? And how do you use it with a little bit larger group? In this Easter spirit of new beginnings and experimentation, it's all in the Easter season. I want to try the I Wonder, I Notice sermon today. Let's give it a try. So here's how it works. We're all preachers of the gospel this morning, and the gospel is our focus. We're hearing again the scripture, and then we're wondering about words and phrases, the story itself, and we're noticing details and questions that arise, wondering and noticing. So you've got the gospel before you in the bulletin. Probably good to open that up if you don't have it open already. And in a moment, I'm going to read the gospel slowly, very slowly. And your job is to interrupt me. And I say that in all seriousness. Your job is to interrupt me. And don't just interrupt in any old way. Hey, that reminds me of a story that my grandma told me once, and then you launch into the story. Please, don't do that. That's not what we're doing. But interrupt me in a particular way using this phrase, a phrase that begins, I wonder, dot, 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 whatever it is that you wonder, or I notice, dot, 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 whatever it is that you notice. You might want to jot those down if it's hard to remember. I wonder or I notice. Those are the two beginnings to the phrase. And as you interrupt, I'll pause for you to speak. And then I'll repeat what you just said. And then somebody else might interrupt again. And I'll repeat what they said. And then when nobody has any more interruptions, I'll go on with the next word or phrase until somebody else interrupts me again. So here's how it might sound, starting at the very beginning of today's gospel. Now on that third day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus. I wonder why Emmaus. She's got it already. I was just going to give you an example. I was going to say, I wonder which two they were. Or I wonder why Emmaus. You've got it. This is great. Or I notice that they aren't all together anymore. Or I wonder how they might be feeling right now. Do you understand? I wonder or I notice. That was perfect. Thank you. I did not plant this. No, I didn't. So only two rules. There are no wrong answers. Let the Spirit lead us as a community as we listen to the gospel. You may feel silly. You may feel like you don't know enough. And the reality is those are the best interruptions often. Your job is to interrupt. And it only works if somebody does interrupt. Use your voice and dare to speak out. That's the first rule. And the second one is use the structure. Begin with that interruption, with that phrase, I wonder or I notice. I wonder or I notice. So first, we've got to make sure that we've got voices. We've got to be ready for this. Better test them out. My name is Jen. What's your name? Voices. You got good voices. And my other question is, have you had your coffee this morning? Good, because I haven't had mine. We're going to be just fine here. I wonder or I notice. And remember that I want to be able to hear what you say so that I can repeat it so that everybody, not everybody here is the same. So I want to be able to repeat it. The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 24th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now on that same day, when Jesus had appeared to Mary Magdalene, two of them, we're going to a village called Emmaus.
I wonder which two.
About 7 miles from Jerusalem. And talking with each other about all these things that had happened. I wonder if they were still afraid. Who said so? I wonder what things were included in the discussion. I wonder how they know it was 7 miles. Jesus himself came near and went with them. I wonder how that happened. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. I wonder why they were not allowed to recognize him. And he said to them, what are you discussing with each other while you walk along?
I notice the combination of walking and talking.
I notice the combination of walking and talking. They stood still, looking sad. I noticed they stopped. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him. Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days? He asked them, what things? I wonder why they didn't recognize him. I notice that Cleopas is not one of the traditional disciples. I wonder who Cleopas is. I wonder why the other person isn't named. I notice that Jesus is sneaky. He asked them, what things? They replied, the things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. I notice it was the priests and the leaders who handed him over, but in the story that we heard during Holy Week, we also yelled, crucify him. It was not just the leaders. I notice that they called him a prophet, mighty indeed, but not the Messiah. I notice that he is mighty, but yet he died. Say that again, Chilo. I notice we crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. I notice that they use the word hope instead of new. I wonder what they mean by redeemed. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. I notice it's past tense. We had hoped as if they no longer hope. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning. And when they did not find the body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who had said that he was alive. I noticed that it was the women who were the first to know. I wonder what made them get up so early to do that. I notice they don't necessarily believe the women. I notice they still call themselves a group even after Jesus has gone. I wonder if angels are common. I noticed they said vision of angels, meaning maybe kind of real, maybe not. I wonder if I would believe an angel if an angel said something to me. And some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared."
I notice that's a pretty direct statement.
I notice that's a pretty direct statement. I wonder if you had to believe to see the angels. I notice they say slow of heart, but not slow of mind. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory? Then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. I wonder why Jesus started with Moses. I notice this is not a short conversation. I notice that this is the sermon that's missing from the Bible. I really wish it was there. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead of as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is now nearly over."
I notice that we sing those words a lot. I wonder if they realize who he is at this point. I notice that.
I noticed that he walked ahead as if he was going on, but they said, "Stay with us." And only at their invitation did he come and stay with them.
I noticed
I notice that they appreciate him, even though his point of view is different than theirs. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. I wonder how quickly he vanishes. I notice this is what we do here at communion.
I notice that as soon as their eyes are opened, he vanishes.
I notice that as soon as their eyes are opened, he vanishes. Say that again. I wonder if ritual opens our eyes. I wonder if these two disciples were there on that Thursday night. I wonder what it means to vanish. I wonder if Jesus had a great big smile on his face when he vanished. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was walking with us on the road? While he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour, they got up. I noticed that it's their hearts. He had said, slow of heart, and now hearts are burning. That same hour, they got up and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and their companions gathered together. I noticed they returned to Jerusalem even though it was late. I noticed that 14 miles is a lot to walk in one day. I noticed that they met with the 11, which indicates that neither of them were part of the 11. I noticed that even though they got back really late, they still didn't have a problem getting together with all the other disciples. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of bread. I wonder if this is why we still break bread together. The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You guys are really, really good at interrupting. That's all I'm going to say. But I am going to add just a couple more things. And some of these are things that I noticed and wondered about, and some of them are things that you may have noticed and we talked about already, but I just want to highlight a couple different pieces. First, I noticed, once again, that theme of walking together on the road, and I wonder about all the conversations that we have on the road. On the road. This week, I've been thinking about the climate marches last week, this past weekend, or just yesterday. I've been thinking about those who are going to the immigration and the workers' rights marches tomorrow. Walking and talking together. I've been thinking about Anne Kreider from our congregation, now in France, heading towards Spain, beginning the pilgrimage, the Camino de Santiago, walking the path, meeting others along the way, meeting Jesus along the way. I've been thinking about a few in our congregation who have been hospitalized or had surgery this week and how they are up and walking, but slowly and carefully. And the times that we walk on the road, but we do that with great care, with gingerness, and the way that we can have other people walk alongside us, even in those times. As these disciples walk, as they walk, talk about all these things that have happened, surely the arrest and the crowds and the cross and the tensions and the politics sweeping the city, but also the fears and the worries in their own hearts and in their community. As they walk, that's when Jesus comes alongside to go with them. And I notice that they don't recognize Jesus. We talked about that a lot. And I wonder how often Jesus is right at our side, right in the midst of a conversation and its pain, and we don't recognize Jesus' presence. I notice that phrase, we had hoped that he was the one. We had hoped. It's a past perfect verb conjugation. It's very important. And I wonder about all the dashed hopes that we carry along. But maybe the littler things like the plan for the day that went haywire, the opportunity that wasn't, the relationship that we thought was the one, but no. The child or loved one we had hoped might recover that didn't. And there Jesus is. There he is, walking along with them, with their broken hearts, with their tears, walking with us. And I notice how dodgy Jesus is and how he finally agrees to stay with them. And then how he takes the bread and blesses it and breaks it and gives it to them. And that's when they finally recognize him in the ritual. Both guest and host. He is one and the same at once. He is the guest and he is the host. And it gives that fresh meaning to our classic prayer, come, Lord Jesus, be our guest. Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest. Were not our hearts burning within us, they ask. Many of you have heard about Chris Stanley this week. Chris is a student at the University of Minnesota in the College of Biological Sciences. He's into sustainability and Spanish and mindfulness and meditation and biking and adventures. He's the student that reports tell us was swept into the Mississippi at dusk on Tuesday. And as far as I know, the search continues, as do the prayers. So late on Wednesday night, I had an email from a staff person at the university, and it explained the situation, and it explained the struggle that Chris's friends were having to cope. And it said, I'm wondering if you all might have some ideas and space to support the students and the university community. That was Wednesday night. And on Thursday evening, maybe 100 or so students and friends and some staff and faculty and a few parents gathered together. They gathered in the lounge. They gathered by the fire that was built in the courtyard. They gathered in the chapel with music playing and lots of candles, and some gathered in here as well with more candles. And Pastor Kate from Lutheran Campus Ministry and Jody Pendroy, the staff psychologist from Student Counseling Services, spoke about emotions at this time, what they might feel like. And then they opened it up. And for nearly an hour, all those gathered told stories. Powerful, beautiful, mundane, loving, cherishing, tear-filled stories about Chris and about their own faith and about their sense of meaning and about their hope and about their fear. Chris sounds like an amazing person. He's somebody I'd really like to know. I was so grateful. Grateful for the staff person from the university who reached out to ask if we could be a place of safety, a place of support, a place of comfort in this painful and uncertain time on the road. On the road. And I was grateful that we could say yes. Yes, come. And that we could make a space of grace and meaning and meet them where they were. I was grateful. Dear friends in Christ, thank you. Thank you for daring to notice and wonder together with me this morning. It's a rich gospel. It's a powerful gospel. And you brought that to life in bold and new ways. And on the road, and in the conversations, and at the table, and at every table, may Jesus meet us again, surprising us with promises of new life and new hope, new grace enough for today. Amen. Own hearts in their community. As they walk, that's when Jesus comes alongside to go with them. And I notice that they don't recognize Jesus. We talked about that a lot. And I wonder how often Jesus is right at our side, right in the midst of a conversation, and it's pain, and we don't recognize Jesus' presence. I notice that phrase, we had hoped that he was the one. We had hoped. It's a past perfect verb conjugation. It's very important. And I wonder about all the dashed hopes that we carry along. But maybe the littler things like the plan for the day that went haywire, the opportunity that wasn't, the relationship that we thought was the one, but no. The child or loved one we had hoped might recover, that didn't. And there Jesus is. There he is, walking along with them, with their broken hearts, with their tears, walking with us. And I notice how dodgy Jesus is, and how he finally agrees to stay with them, and then how he takes the bread and blesses it and breaks it and gives it to them. And that's when they finally recognize him in the ritual. Both guest and host. He is one and the same at once. He is the guest and he is the host. And it gives that fresh meaning to our classic prayer, come, Lord Jesus, be our guest. Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest. Were not our hearts burning within us, they ask. Many of you have heard about Chris Stanley this week. Chris is a student at the University of Minnesota in the College of Biological Sciences. He's into sustainability and Spanish and mindfulness and meditation and biking and adventures. He's the student that reports tell us was swept into the Mississippi at dusk on Tuesday. And as far as I know, the search continues, as do the prayers. So late on Wednesday night, I had an email from a staff person at the university, and it explained the situation, and it explained the struggle that Chris's friends were having to cope. And it said, I'm wondering if you all might have some ideas and space to support the students and the university community. That was Wednesday night. And on Thursday evening, maybe 100 or so students and friends and some staff and faculty and a few parents gathered together. They gathered in the lounge. They gathered by the fire that was built in the courtyard. They gathered in the chapel with music playing and lots of candles, and some gathered in here as well with more candles. And Pastor Kate from Lutheran Campus Ministry and Jody Pendroy, the staff psychologist from Student Counseling Services, spoke about emotions at this time, what they might feel like, and then they opened it up. And for nearly an hour, all those gathered told stories. Powerful, beautiful, mundane, loving, cherishing, tear-filled stories about Chris and about their own faith and about their sense of meaning and about their hope and about their fear. Chris sounds like an amazing person. He's somebody I'd really like to know. I was so grateful. Grateful for the staff person from the university who reached out to ask if we could be a place of safety, a place of support, a place of comfort in this painful and uncertain time on the road. On the road. And I was grateful that we could say yes. Yes, come. And that we could make a space of grace and meaning and meet them where they were. I was grateful. Dear friends in Christ, thank you. Thank you for daring to notice and wonder together with me this morning. It's a rich gospel. It's a powerful gospel. And you brought that to life in bold and new ways. And on the road, and in the conversations, and at the table, and at every table, may Jesus meet us again, surprising us with promises of new life and new hope. new grace enough for today. Amen.